Hey guys, it's Fodcast time. What's going on? We're here at the Charterhouse Real Estate offices in Ankeny. You know what that means? For the next 45 minutes, we will tickle your intellectual brain bones. What does that mean?
Your skull. Your brain bone would be
We're going to entertain you.
We're going to try, man.
Maybe.
We're going to try. We always do. We don't always succeed, but we'll give it our best shot.
Clones just dominated West Virginia last night.
This is one of these rare instances where you can dissect the game on a public forum before you've talked it out on your radio show.
Yeah.
We had the game last night. We're doing this.
This is true, yeah.
Were you like me? Totally saw that coming?
Dude, that was one of the most shocking outcomes of a game, an Iowa State game I ever remember. Honestly. Like, Nick Weiler-Babb had played, he averaged over 37 minutes a game.
Yep.
He has played point guard pretty much every minute that he's been on the floor.
Yep.
They had nobody with, like, legitimate point guard experience with West Virginia coming to town. Like, and then you're coming off of literally the worst offensive performance in the history of Hilton Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being hyperbolic here. Everything I'm saying is accurate. That was shocking to me. I thought Iowa State would lose by 20 last night.
What's crazy is it was such a complete game.
Yeah.
I mean, they had effort from start to finish, blocking shots like crazy, shooting, I think, 60%+ from the field.
Yeah. Which that won't happen all the time.
Making a lot of free throws, making their threes. I'm more than doubling their points from last time. I think they ended up with 93, I believe, last night. And I was there. It was it reminded me of it was the basketball equivalent of the Oklahoma football game.
That's funny. My wife said the same thing last night.
That's what it was. I mean, okay, we're going to get creamed. We lost an important piece, and instead they come out and play great. So, and you're always wondering about the guy like that is out. Man, why are they being so good without me? Sometimes it just happens.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean Babb shouldn't be in there.
Sometimes when a guy goes out, other guys ascend.
Step up. Lard and Young both had double-doubles last night.
That was, I think, that's as good as Solomon Young's ever played, I think. 6-for-6, 14-10. He played within himself. He played with great patience. He didn't take any of those stupid threes. That was Zerantali's best game by far.
Yep.
I mean, they don't win that game without Zerantali in the starting, playing 35 minutes, breaking that press. I really believe that.
They never, by the way, this is something that I didn't even think about until you said that. Did we get the ball stolen a single time in their press? I don't recall
It got knocked out of bounds a couple of times, but I don't know if it ever got stolen.
I don't think that it was effective at all. And that's what they're known for.
I actually think that's the reason Iowa State played so well.
That it didn't affect them, basically.
Well, hear me out here, because the Clones are like, if you do any analytical research, I mean, they're so much better in transition than they are in the half court. And what that press forced them to do was play fast constantly.
Yeah.
You know, like there really weren't many chances last night to even get a half court offense up and running. That's my very novice basketball mind, but I think that West Virginia actually played the way – I'll put it this way. I think if let's say that Oklahoma State was there last night, or I'm just thinking of anybody who doesn't play that – basically any other team
Everybody.
In the Big 12.
Yeah.
Like, would Iowa State have shot 60%? I don't know. I think that it was – we all kind of thought it was going to be a worst-case scenario, but I think it actually – push this team in a direction where they kind of found an identity.
Yeah. So what will be interesting is what do they do with their lineup configuration with Babb back in? Did they discover something last night that they really liked that they hadn't had before?
I think Babb will continue to start. I mean, he's clearly one of their best players.
Yeah. I just wonder if the rotations change.
Tally, I think, has earned more playing time, don't you think?
Yeah, he was good.
He looks like a guy who is a Big 12 player now.
He was good.
Which he didn't look like that a month ago. The key is, like, this is what drove me more nuts about this team than anything a month ago, 2 months ago. I hate it when you have guys taking the wrong shots.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Beverly coming off the bench and doing the little, you know, baseline jumper, that's fine.
Right away.
Jeff Beverly launching 4 threes in a game, not fine.
He nailed his first one, right?
He did. Yeah, he played great yesterday. Solomon Young should not be shooting threes. I don't give a crap what he thinks or his team has seen from him in practice. He's not a good three-point shooter.
It's not a shot.
Zoran Talley should not. If you're that open, Zoran, there's a reason. It's because the defense wants you to shoot that. And last night, all these guys like played within themselves for the betterment of the team, and look what happened.
Yeah.
It was great. It was an awesome night.
It's hard to picture a better night. They never trailed in the game. And the way they responded, West Virginia did battle back from, I think, double digits to tie it, and then, boom, it was a 9-0 run. And Iowa State is right back in control right after that when they could have gotten down and fallen behind. The biggest takeaway I had, and we like to talk about gambling and stuff, is that just when you think, and again, the Iowa State football or Oklahoma game all over again, just when you think something's coming, it goes the exact opposite way.
Exactly.
You know, and I texted my buddies and I said, you got to be an idiot to bet on this stuff. Oh, well, they're starting point guards out, and, you know, West Virginia's going to dominate them. And it was never even close to happening last night. So
I wrote – I don't know if you probably didn't read my column because you don't read my columns.
I don't even know how to read. Okay.
I wrote that coaching this team has to be a little bit like raising a teenager. You know?
All over the place.
Yeah.
They have a bipolar personality.
Well, right, and here's why. I really think I have this team figured out. I really do.
Okay.
The reason they're so much like this is, like, their leaders, Nick and Donovan, are not natural born leaders.
Yeah.
Neither one. Like,
forced into it.
They're not good at it.
Yeah.
They're good players. They're guys you want on your team. They're Naz Long is naturally a leader.
Yeah.
George was a natural leader.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, 2 years ago, when Naz sat out, he was one of the most valuable players on that team that year. He was an extension of the coach when the guys were hanging out in the apartment or whatever. Naz is like a coach. And he didn't play a minute during that Big 12 season, but he was one of the most valuable players on the team. And if this team had Naz, we may be talking about a trip to the NCAA tournament. They don't have that. So all these kids have had to learn on the fly, and it's been problematic.
Naz was extremely involved. I remember I watched him a lot that season. You know,
at
every timeout, he was the first one out on the court.
Yeah, he was another coach.
He, you know. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, leadership can be learned for sure, but I think a lot of people are born to do it better than others.
Yeah.
And maybe we don't have that guy.
That, and I think, too, the AAU culture is very real. And it's funny, like, if you talk to, like, football coaches or strength and conditioning coaches, they'll use the phrase, we got to work the JUCO out of them in the weight room.
Hmm. Okay.
This is why summer JUCOs rarely work.
Yeah.
Because you don't have time to work the JUCO out of them.
Okay.
If they show up in the spring, you can work. You have an entire off season to work the JUCO out of them.
That's an interesting perspective.
And I think now we're having to work the AAU out of a lot of these guys. And like Lindell Wigginton's a fine young man. I don't know if you've ever talked to Lindell. He's a really neat kid. He's super talented. He's going to play in the NBA someday. He's got all these things. But you got to work the AAU out of him a little bit. And sometimes that takes a while.
Yeah.
That took a while with Donovan Jackson. They had to work the JUCO out of him. It took him half the year last year. Mm-hmm. He finally recognizes his role. I'm going to play really good defense, and I'm going to come off the bench to make great shots. Well, then, you know, he's like, oh, I'm the senior now, and the JUCO came back to him.
Yeah.
And they had to work that back out of him. And now he's playing within himself. And, like, there's just so many different moving parts. Like these D1 coaches at a high level earn their money.
It's got to be extremely tough. What was I going to say about you're talking about the players and coming. Oh, okay. So my question is, there's two teams that jump to mind when I think defense and press for the most part. There's a lot of teams that played pretty good defense. Virginia and West Virginia. Ironically, two Virginias there. Virginia is known for their
two different states.
I agree. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but the word Virginia is the same. So, they have to recruit a certain type of player. Do you think the recruiting process for those two teams would look drastically different than it does for most other teams in that it's exhausting to do what they do on the defensive end of the court? Because a lot of, you know, it's half court. It's always half court. You kind of jog back. You get into position. West Virginia is constantly pressing. Virginia is constantly attacking the ball.
You have
to have a very specific type of player.
Virginia face guards you and stuff like that, yeah.
I just wonder, like, do they, when they're looking, especially for high school players, are they looking for these guys that just love playing defense? Or are they like, that's a good basketball player and we're going to convert them to the way that we do it here? You can't have a lazy player on those teams.
I think West Virginia is significantly different just because it's Huggins.
Yeah.
I just, you know, and like our friend Larry Eustachy's back in the news. Did you see that yesterday?
No. What's Larry doing?
They're like doing a full investigation of the program and how he treats players.
Oh, Larry.
He's done. He's not going to survive this one. It's the same deal we talked about last year when Gray came on here and was loving him up. That's great. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I've never met Larry in my life. He did great things at Iowa State. However, you can't do things the same in 2018. Yeah. Every day we're getting headlines, right? Yeah. Things are different now than they were 20 years ago.
Yep.
Huggins, I think, has chilled out a lot over the last 10 years, but he's tough to play for.
He's an intense dude.
Bill Finley's tough to play for. Like, you have to be a certain type of young lady to play in Bill Finley's program, right?
Yeah.
So I think with Huggins, it's like you got to have, like, a mentally tough kid because the whole work the AAU out of him doesn't really work there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see Bob Huggins being real patient with that?
No, I can't.
I mean, they just want athletes, though. They're not looking for as much ball skill as – like what
and they've got them. I mean, they're a good team. Watching those guys up close, I mean, we won because we outshot them.
Dude, we shot like crazy last night.
Yeah, we did.
I just think that it's like with Virginia, though, you have to recruit a different type of kid in the sense that they have to be incredibly unselfish because they're not going to get stats.
Yeah.
Because their time of possession, they slow it down so much. You could be a really elite player there and not average that many points because of the slow it down style of ball.
And obviously Virginia has sent some guys that they had a guy, 2 years ago, one of their seniors that went to the NBA is in the NBA, and they do send people to the NBA. But if you go to school like that, it has to be somewhat unappealing to kids because they do want to go to a place, be the star, get known.
Yeah.
So they can go to the NBA, right?
I wouldn't want to play for Virginia. It's boring. I mean, it comes across that way. Like, they win, but there's not that many schools.
In the 40s and 50s.
And that's you know, part of the deal. Like, I would guess that a lot of coaches would love to play that way, but you can't recruit that well. Yeah. Most kids don't want to go and play in a system like that.
Yeah, I agree. So with this team, though, the thing that's most frustrating to me, and I think you'd probably agree with that, is they just played an outstanding game. But the next time they go on the road, it could be, again, the complete opposite. It could be. And that's what's frustrating. And that's what comes with youth.
They could lose by 20 to Baylor.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like, where's the team that just played? But it's the same as where's the team that played last Saturday compared to last night? A completely different team. So all you can do as a fan is cross your fingers and hope
that
the right one shows up.
At least this team, though, this is kind of what I wanted from this group. Like, basketball is going to be interesting through the end of the year.
Yeah.
That's kind of all I thought we could ask for this year, to show up and know you have a chance to win and that they're going to play hard and, like, you can watch these kids grow up. That's kind of the fun part of it.
I think that at least in Hilton, one of the good things about that environment and the team, every time they play, they have a chance to win. They really do. People say, well, that's true anywhere. It's not.
No.
If you get a crap team somewhere and Kansas is coming in, you know it's over before it's even started.
Yeah.
Iowa State can beat any team at home. I really believe that. On the road, total toss-up, man. Total toss-up.
Yeah. No. Next two are road games.
We'll
Baylor
see.
And Texas Tech, two teams we've beaten.
We can beat them again. Did you – I knew this was coming out.
What?
By the way.
Breaking news?
Not important breaking news, no. But have you been following the Tom Brady show that's been coming out on Facebook?
No, I haven't watched it. I heard that guy in the radio station called his daughter a name, a pissant. There was a lot of drama from that. That's the only part of this I followed.
So it's called Tom versus Time.
Yeah.
And it's I you know, I'm on record. I'm a Tom Brady fan. I like the guy.
You get a massive you know what for Tom Brady.
A Brady boner?
You said it, not me.
Okay. So it's a good show. It's 15 minutes long, something like that. And it's behind the scenes. So it's showing Tom in his house. And I like shows like that. Where does this guy actually live?
He's like mixing up a smoothie.
Doing smoothies. It showed him.
Push-ups after dark.
It showed him in Montana hanging out with Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman in the summer running routes with helmets on and pads. People are like, Brady's good because he's a system quarterback. That's what Gray would say. He says it all the time, right?
Gray doesn't know.
Gray, dude, the guy works his...
Gray would take Jay Cutler over Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's a gunslinger fan.
That's all he wants.
So it shows behind the scenes, Brady works his butt off, right?
And well, I think Brady without working your butt
off. So he works his butt off. So anyway, in this latest episode, my wife was watching it the other day.
Of course she was.
Just come out. She's a Brady fan, too. She likes him.
Would she rather watch Brady or Lane Danielson mow the yard without a shirt on?
Probably
Lane.
Well, Lane, because he's two doors down. Yeah. I mean, you know, doesn't have, yeah. Anyway, I won't go there.
Sorry.
Yeah. I was going to.
So your wife's watching Brady.
So she's watching.
Amendola and Edelman.
So she's watching this latest episode. And she texts me and says, you need to watch the episode. There's going to be things in it that people talk about. She was very vague like that. So I don't know what she's talking about. So then I watched the episode. I'm like, okay, I figured out which one it was. So in this, Tom Brady's at his house getting a massage from the guy that he works with all the time.
Was a guy giving him a massage?
Well, the guy that hangs out with him all the time, like the pseudo doctor guy.
Yeah,
that guy.
That's just interesting to me.
That guy. So
like when you go get a massage, do you request a female?
I've never had a male give me a massage.
Yeah, I always request a female too.
Yeah,
but I'm cool with it. Like if a dude wanted to give me a massage, I'd be fine.
I would not be as comfortable.
Yeah, if I had the option, I had the female do it.
Yeah,
but I'd be okay with a dude.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I've never had one, but I don't think I'd be comfortable with it.
They have stronger hands in many cases.
Yeah, but I don't want a dude rubbing my butt cheeks. That's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, that's just it.
I mean,
and getting your butt rubbed if you haven't been a massage, that feels
phenomenal.
Great.
That's the best part.
That feels great. I love it. So anyway, so he's laying on a table getting a massage. The massage isn't the weird part. His son comes in, and his son is probably, I'm guessing, 12, 13, something like this. His son comes in and says, hey, can I go do this or whatever? And Tom's like, yeah. And the kid, and I think Tom says, whatever. Anyway, the kid's leaving, and the kid comes over to Tom and gives him a kiss on the lips. Okay, this is his son.
He's getting a massage from a man.
Yeah. His son comes over. Tom's laying on his back on the table. Kid leans over.
Yeah.
And gives Tom
like
a peck, right?
Yeah, that's nice.
Kid starts to head out the room, and Tom's like, basically says, hey, you know, give me like a real one. Like that was a peck.
Oh, yeah.
So the kid comes back and gives dad another mouth-to-mouth kiss that lasts 3 seconds, maybe. To me, this looks odd. I don't kiss my children, especially as they would age, on the lips.
I kiss Cammy on the lips every night.
Well, okay, that's a daddy-daughter thing. She's very young, right? This is an adolescent.
Because I always say, hey, baby, I want a kiss. And that's where she gives a sloppy kiss.
Like. So anyway, he's 11. I just found this headline. So anyway, I saw that on the video. I texted my wife and I said, that's what you're talking about, right?
The kiss?
She's like, yeah. So I'm looking at right now an article I just saw. It's CBS New York.
Kiss between Tom Brady, 11-year-old son, raises question about parent-child affection.
Yeah. So
for real?
So the headline was, people are up in arms about this. I thought it was... weird. I'm not going to say it was wrong because other people might do this, but it looked odd. If you haven't seen it, this is on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook and look up Tom versus Time, you can watch this. I think it was episode 3.
Be honest with me, Mark. Is this worth my time? Because don't waste my time with this. Like
the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I love Tom Brady.
You'll learn a lot about him.
I'm a Tom Brady fan. I bought his book. It's pretty trash, honestly. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
This is so there's quotes in here. If you kiss your kids too much, it's the wrong thing. If you kiss your kids too little, it's the wrong thing. If you hug too much, people need to back off and stop parent shaming.
I can't kiss my daughter too much. My daughter cannot be this is my parenting.
Hey, I'm all about it, but here's the difference.
I love her too
much. Here's the difference. I'm going to be sexist right now, okay?
No, I know where you're going with this, and I probably agree.
We as fathers have a duty to keep our daughters off the pole, okay? That's just the reality.
That's not a very elegant way to put it, but
okay.
I understand.
We don't want our daughters. We don't want Hollis and Cammie down there working for tips at Beach Girls.
This
right?
is true.
Or whatever they call it, lumberyard or whatever.
Okay. I thought you meant a different pole.
That too. That comes from it, okay? So the theory goes, the more that a father shows affection for his daughter, says, I love you, you're beautiful, whatever, the less likely they are to have to seek that out from other men.
Absolutely.
Later on.
I read a book about this. I
don't think the same applies for boys. Kissing your boy on the mouth. I don't think it needs to happen. Okay, and some people say, that's sexist. I don't give a crap if it is. That's just the way that I feel.
I think it goes from like parent to parent. I don't think that there's a right or a wrong, but I get what you're saying. I was just having this talk with Bloom. We were at Reclaimed Rails the other night, and Bloom's an expecting father. His wife is pregnant. And like, they don't know what they're having. Right. And I was kind of outlining it with Bloom, like, well, there's pros and cons. Like me, having had one girl, I want all girls now.
Yeah.
I love being the dad of a girl, and here's why. Because I don't feel the need, and this is probably going to be taken as sexist by some as well, but I also think that it's the importance of having a mom and dad in the house if you can.
Yeah.
Clearly, there are circumstances. There's a lot of great single mothers out there, single fathers out there. I'm not coming down on you. But the whole point of what I'm saying is I feel like when you have a son, you kind of have to teach him how to grow to be a man.
Yeah.
In the sense.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, I feel more loose with my daughter in the sense that I can just act like a total candy.
And mom's
rear.
The one teaching her how to be a woman.
Again, like that's probably, you could probably poke some holes in that.
Sure.
But I think it's just this innate feeling.
Yeah,
I
don't think it's a foolproof theory there, but I agree. The way that I view my son, and I'm fortunate enough to both my sons and my daughters, I do feel the same. I don't know why exactly I feel the same. I know that I'm not going to be... I kind of feel like I need to teach my son kind of everything.
Yeah.
And with a girl, I'm not going to teach her how to do her hair, her makeup, her whatever, because I don't know how to. Now, if you're a dad that does that...
I can do a ponytail.
I can't even do that.
You can't... Mark, come on.
No, I mean, I could. I could, but
I... You scrunch it all together and you wrap it around. It's not hard.
I probably could, but I'd probably pull her hair.
I've done that. I've gotten... text from the wife like with the brush and pulled hair out of it and like criticizing me. It's all the wives do. They judge, they nag, they sorry, love you honey.
I tell my wife, I'm like, I could do it, but you're just gonna criticize me and say I did it wrong.
See, yeah, you're
so
right.
So why should I even bother?
It's
doing
generally
it
what wives
place?
Do.
So you know, there's definitely a difference in how you raise your kids. I don't think there's any question about
but,
that.
But I bet also though, Mark, to have an open mind here, there's probably some men listening who don't feel this way.
I would agree with that.
You know, they don't look at it any different.
Well, I'm saying that, and that's not wrong, and what I'm saying is not wrong. Every parent has to
different.
choose what they want to do. I do think that having a lingering kiss with your 11-year-old boy.
So you took offense to this kiss.
I didn't take offense to it. I just thought it looked odd. I watched it, and I said, that looks odd.
You know what? I'll give Brady credit, though. I will give him credit that I'd rather... I've not seen this video, by the way. I'd rather him do that than like totally just be not have anything to do with your kid. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think kissing your kid for a second too long is better than not kissing your kid at all. I don't care if it's a boy or a girl.
One commenter said, too long, like romantic long. That's what they said.
I mean, come on, people. Tom Brady's not romantically kissing his kid on Facebook. Like, this is ridiculous.
This reminds me of a skit. I think it was the Vogelchecks on, this was a Fred Armisen character on SNL, back when he was on SNL. And someone would bring a date home or whatever to introduce him to the family. And I can't remember, I think he was the dad. So Fred Armisen played the dad and their last name was Vogelcheck. And then the kid, who was maybe like Paul Rudd or something, is a guest host. He comes in and like introduces the girlfriend to the family. And then the son and dad like stand up to greet each other and they start making out. And like, of course, the girl's like totally off put by this. And it's like, what can I say? We're a loving family. We're the Vogelchicks. And the whole skit is like the mom and the son and everybody just making out. It's actually quite funny if you haven't seen it. It's worth a Google.
The Vogelchicks?
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm pretty sure that was the – well, I don't know what the name of it was, but that was their last name. Until you can weigh in on this, I guess, when you have a boy.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope I get to have that opportunity. That'd be great. Do you want to do some Super Bowl prop bets?
Love to. Love to. Let's pull them up.
Are you done gambling?
For life?
Yeah.
Probably not. For now.
So why are you slowing down?
For now. It's just there's better uses of my time and money right now. It's all that it is. You know, if people want to know why.
What happened to you?
If people want to know why.
Who got to you?
The debt collectors. If people want to know why, you look at a game like last night. You know?
Well, you finally gotten smart. That's not a reason.
Well,
like you've always known that like bad beats can happen. And
so I've got so if you had two options between where to gamble on something, and if you gamble on something, you're putting money at risk with an unknown future result. That's what a gamble is. So I can do that via investing into commercial buildings, not knowing if it's going to be a great return or not, but it's an investment, hopefully.
Yeah.
Or I can bet on a game. Which one is the better option for me?
Which one's smarter or which one's more fun?
I think both can be fun.
Yeah. Dude, it's weird. Like,
flipping a house is a gamble.
The older I get, like, I'm upset. Like, I'm not kidding, man. I spend an hour every night reading stuff on investments and stocks and, like,
yeah.
I'm kind of nuts about it.
So, and this is what my wife has always said.
Is the market going to tank?
No. No. Like, soon or ever again?
Soon.
No. Why would it?
Trump?
2018 is supposed to be robust as hell, dude.
I'm just trolling you.
Yeah. 2018 is supposed to be great.
I know. That's what they're all saying. I just feel like we're melting up.
I do like that.
Inflation's going to take over.
We're far enough in now. We're past a year of Trump, and you go back to election night and all that stuff.
Remember like when everything blew up?
The markets will tank if Trump becomes president.
Well, they did for about 2 hours, and then they like went nuts the next day.
Ever since, it's record. And I'm not saying that's all Trump. What I am saying is, though, they didn't go to hell.
Here's what's funny, though, like
they were going to do.
Every president, no matter like which political party, like will take credit for it and stuff.
Yeah.
But aren't the markets fundamentally built to like constantly be breaking records? Like, it should always get higher.
Over time, yeah. But you got to remember, too, just to prove I'm not, partisan to just Republicans. I mean, when Bush left office, it was like 8,000. I mean, he took it into the crapper.
Yeah, it was
frankly.
Bad. It was bad.
You know, and Obama had the difference. People say, well, Obama did things. Well, he did. But the difference between the two, if you had to paint it now, is Obama took it on a steady uphill slow ride.
Correct.
Over 8 years.
Yeah, it was constantly.
And Trump in 1 year has gone to the moon. Now, we'll come back down, maybe.
Why can't we just give both credit?
You know, I don't think the stock market is directly tied to presidents.
Neither do I.
You know, and a lot of people
there's a lot of circumstances that are involved.
Yeah, but I think the president has the ability to help crash a market.
You can
by doing something really
you can help
really
crash
dumb.
It, and you can always like this tax reform stuff is you're buttering it up, which we don't really know long term.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a way to inflate it too, like immediately, and then you see if it pays off.
Those of you out there that hate Trump, you're going to start enjoying your fatter paycheck starting right now. That's where it's happening. So you can hate him, but he put a little bit more money in that weekly paycheck for you.
All right, let's do Super Bowl prop bets.
Okay.
I read that there's like 450 prop bets this year.
Oh, there's a ton. First ones. Oh, no, this is confusing. Bill Belichick wears a hoodie during the game.
Yeah.
What do they mean by hoodie? Any sweatshirt with a hood? I mean, he's not wearing the hood up.
I mean, to wear a hoodie, you have to wear a hood. You have to have a hood on it. So, yeah, any sweatshirt with a hood.
He doesn't always, though. I can picture him not doing that. So, I don't know.
What's the odds?
Yes. Even. Yes, minus 115. No, minus 115.
I'd go yes.
I'd lean towards yes, but the fact that it's indoors and there's no need for it, I don't think You will.
I think this one's fascinating. Will Nick Foles be the starting quarterback of any team in week one of 2018? No, minus 200. Yes, plus 150.
Okay. I would go with no. It's not the Eagles, assuming health, obviously.
No, it's not the Eagles. Which is the guy?
So,
but like,
where let's is he gonna go?
Well, let's say that he wins a Super Bowl, which I think you and I will both pick the Patriots. But let's just say like the Eagles would win. Come on, he'd start somewhere, right?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I think the last guy that happened to, I think, was Dilfer. Did not start the next year.
Dilfer didn't start?
No. He got traded to Seattle and was a backup.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I would pick no, that he's not going to. Here's an interesting one. Who will Tony Dungy predict to win? Eagles minus 300. Patriots plus 240. Is he a huge Eagles fan?
That is interesting. I have no idea.
He must have said something.
I don't really
about
watch
it.
Pregame shows and stuff anymore. So I don't know.
There's a reason. Yes, these bets are offered, but there's a big reason that the limits on these things are so small.
Yeah, because
it's like $100. Because if you knew Dungy, you could
get to him.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna pick them. Okay, I'll go bet $1 million on that. No, they don't let you do it because a lot of these you could find out.
What's Justin Timberlake's first song during the halftime show?
What is he known for?
Okay, here's some options.
Sexy Back, maybe?
Plus 175. That's the second favorite.
Okay.
What about Senorita? I feel for you.
No.
Plus 1250. Cry Me a River. Why would he leave with Cry Me a River?
No way.
That's plus 500.
I don't know if this is a prop bet. I assume it probably is somewhere.
Rock Your Body at plus 400.
Will, speaking of Timberlake, does he do an ode to Prince? Or
I think he should give an ode to Janet Jackson.
Because everybody agrees that had Prince not died, that news we broke here, by the way, on the Fawcast, that he would be doing this halftime show.
Up in Minnesota?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
I agree.
So I think he'll do an ode to him. Does Eli Manning appear in a commercial during the broadcast?
Absolutely.
Yes, minus 120. No, minus 110.
Yes.
Okay.
Total times the word dilly is said during the broadcast.
Said? Not like on commercials?
Well, I think that commercials count.
Oh, commercials count. I'd have to see what...
The over... is 12.5 at minus 130. The under is 12.5 at plus 100.
Well, it can't 100. Be. It can't include commercials then, because three commercials would put that over.
Well, how many dilly commercials will we have?
A lot. I bet a lot.
Do you think they're going to keep rolling with that?
Why not? They've done three of them now.
Here's one to go back to Trump. Will Timberlake say Trump during the halftime show? You think he'll get political with it?
No way. No way.
I don't think the NFL will let him.
No way.
I think the NFL will clamp down on that.
That has
quickly.
To be huge on the no, right?
Minus 300. That's pretty good odds for that.
No way you would say that. I don't recall anybody ever getting political on a halftime show. I think they make
There's
it pretty clear.
There's been political commercials.
This isn't your halftime show. I think they make that
Yeah, we're
clear.
Letting you
Yeah.
on our show.
No, there's no way that he gets political. I would be shocked if that happened.
What about, do you think any member of NSYNC will be make an appearance?
I don't.
Joey Ramone?
Nah, I think
Lance Bass?
Joey Fat One, as I called him, Fatone.
Fatone?
No, I don't think so. I think it'd be kind of cool, but they kind of did that at one of the MTV award shows. They had a mini reunion.
What about the Puppy Bowl, Team Fluff or Team Rough?
How about Team I Don't Give a Crap?
Don't you be coming down on the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, it's overplayed in my opinion. All right, let's talk about the actual game here for a second.
Okay.
Patriots total touchdowns. The over-under on this is 2.5. I would go over.
I'd take the over and say they get 3 touchdowns.
I'd go over on that one. I don't want to say shootout, but...
Dude, they're in a dome.
Yeah, they're gonna get more than 2.
Dude, that defense is really good.
I think they're going
to. What about Grandma Millie? Will she get mentioned?
Who's Grandma Millie?
What do you mean, who's Grandma Millie?
Who is it? I don't know.
She's the 100-year-old Vikings fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That all the Eagles fans were, like, sending death threats to and crap?
No, I don't think anyone will mention Grandma Millie. Vikings are old news, dude.
Yeah, but the Eagles have kept it in the news because of their terrible fan base.
They got trounced. They do have very, very rude fans.
They're awful.
You know what I've noticed is, especially when I went down to tailgate at the K-State game, Iowa State has nice fans. You know, K-State,
very nice fans.
K-State had nice fans.
Yeah, they're nice people down there.
Yeah, it's like I don't understand this rudeness to people because they're wearing another jersey. I mean, lighthearted fun is fine. You do that. Oh, man, you guys are going to get blown out today. But what the Eagles fans do to people,
I made it a point.
Sucks.
And my friends were getting annoyed with me. Every person I saw in a Saints shirt before that game, I would tell them, welcome to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
It's kind of overkill.
How many times did you say it?
Probably 10 at least. I would like walk across the street and tell them that.
Were you drunk?
No comment.
Okay. Okay, special props. Any players take a knee during the national anthem?
No. What's the odds on that?
No is minus 350.
No way. The only way that would happen is if somebody's like, I'm going to use this stage to really make a statement.
Yeah, I don't see it happen, especially not from the Patriots.
It's the Super Bowl, man. Like, whatever your social issues and stuff are that you're fighting for, I get. But that would be very selfish, I think, to make that a distraction for your team in the biggest game of the year.
Yeah. Total number of Donald Trump tweets during the game: over, under 2.5. Same odds.
Under.
Think he's just gonna watch it? Stay on Twitter.
We made that bet last year, Mark.
Here's a stupid one: will Tom Brady announce retirement after the game?
No.
No is minus 2,500. Yeah, on that. No. He said he wants to play to 45. So why would he?
No way.
Bounce out now. Will Tom Brady win the Super Bowl MVP?
Yes.
Yes, minus 180. No, plus 150.
That's good odds.
And then I haven't seen. Oh, here we go. I was looking for this one. National anthem length measured in seconds. Over 120.
Who's singing
two
it?
2 minutes. Pink.
Pink, eh?
I think it's usually 2 minutes is on the slower. Or,
didn't
that,
Luke
that's on the
Bryan sing it last year?
That doesn't sound right.
I think he did
to me. But that's an interesting one. A lot of people, I've looked this up. I think people have gone maybe as long as 2:40 before, 2:30, 2:40.
Yeah, but Pink's kind of a down to business type of girl.
Yeah,
she didn't screw around with much, right?
So would you go under?
Yeah, I would take the under. It's like if the over under is for a football game 35, I'm going to lean under.
Okay.
You know, it seems low to me.
All right, prediction time for the game itself.
Okay.
What is your let's go specific. Let's go final score.
What's the final line right now? 3.5, 4.5?
It's around 4.5, hovering around there. Here's the thing to think about with this line, by the way. So
okay.
Brady's been, this is his 8th Super Bowl. All 7 of the previous Super Bowls have been extremely close. All of them. The Patriots, the ones that he had won, I think had all been 3 or less.
I think this will be close.
Until last year where it was 6 because of overtime.
Yeah.
Which is even closer in theory.
Don't you think this will be a close game?
It depends on Foles. Foles is the X card, I think.
Man, I can't imagine, as great as Brady is, I can't imagine them blowing out with that Eagles defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm gonna say a final score of 34.
It's too high.
34-28. I think we see points.
Okay.
I think we see points.
I think that's too high.
34-28.
I'm gonna say more like 24-23.
Super close.
21-20. I would take the points.
Is there does the win come down to a field goal? Someone kick a field goal to win this thing?
I don't know, but I would take the points.
I just don't know how you bet against Brady.
I won't bet against Brady as far as to win, but if you're going to give me a field goal with that defense.
Yeah.
I hope Brady just annihilates him. I hope he embarrasses Philly.
That'd be good. I'd like it. We've never seen that from a Tom Brady Super Bowl, so it'd be nice to see it blow out for once.
I don't know. I think the Eagles are a little bit That whole like underdog thing played for them. If they had Wentz, I think they'd win.
Yeah, maybe.
I think they're the best team in the NFL when they had
before
Wentz.
The injury. Yeah, I don't know. I just hope for a good game anymore, especially if you're not betting on it. You just want to watch a good game, man.
Man, you got to get some of those props in, Mark.
I don't know.
I did bet on the Puppy Bowl last year. It was awesome. I remember winning.
I mean, you realize that's just stupid to do that.
It's going playing roulette and you.
Another one that I guarantee had a very, very low limit on it since that's pre-recorded.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, my brother's the producer of that show. He told me it's Team Scruff all the way.
We've got that shelter here in Iowa that participates.
What, they send out a dog or something? Or
no, they put a bunch of dogs in it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Every year, yeah. And then they get adopted.
I didn't know that. My old billboard space out on I-35 there and now has a Puppy Mill ad on it.
Oh, I have seen that. Yeah.
I've noticed that as I drive by. It's like, okay. No, I'm excited. I like, the older you get, the more I care about the game. I'm excited for the game. But you do tune in a lot for commercials, halftime show, pregame show. Yeah, I like all that
stuff. I find myself never really seeing the commercials much.
What's your food of choice for if you're having a home party? What's the one thing you have to have?
I've got to have my nachos.
Nachos?
Yeah. That's my go-to.
We usually have chili.
That's good.
I could see ordering a pizza.
My neighbor always brings over, he smokes ribs.
Yeah.
And then, so like he's handling that portion. And then I usually will have chili / nachos / smokies, like side stuff. That's my role.
Do you prefer a large party or an intimate gathering?
I used to like large. Now I like it small.
Yeah. Just you and Bloom.
Blooms will come over. My neighbors, Hutchinsons, will come over, and that's about it. Like, we don't really do anything more than that.
Will you be wearing a Vikings jersey?
Yeah. Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'll be watching them in the Super Bowl.
Maybe. It happened to my Cubbies. It'll happen to your Vikings.
It won't happen.
You just don't know who the quarterback is going to be.
I'm going to die without seeing them win a Super Bowl. I came to that realization like 10 years ago. I'm totally comfortable with it now, too.
I think that's a little...
No, I will. They will never win a Super Bowl in my lifetime.
Well, it depends on how long you live. Right?
Maybe. I mean, who knows? Maybe I won't be here.
Average life expectancy is the upper 70s for a male. So you got another 40-plus in you? I think you'll be okay.
No. I mean, they've been playing for... There's been 52 Super Bowls. We haven't won one yet. What makes you think we'll do one in the next 50 years?
Odds, percentages. That's the best I have for you, man.
What would you say the odds are that the Vikings will win a Super Bowl in the next 50 years? I'm 33 right now. That would put me at 83 years old when I die, let's just say.
I mean, the Vikings are historically a pretty good team, right? So how many teams make the playoffs? There's 32 teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
How many make 16?
Six teams make the playoffs.
Six from each conference, right? 12. So assuming they're in that group, your odds are, you're just talking about playing in it or winning
it? No, winning a Super Bowl.
I mean, they were a game away from getting to it. So
it's been that case most the majority of my life, and they've never made it.
I don't know.
They haven't even made one in my life.
I would say your odds are 25%.
That they'll win one before I die?
Yeah.
So why would I be, if my odds are 25% to see them win one before I die, why would that make me confident?
Because it's better than zero. I mean, it's still less likely than more likely. But like I said,
you're telling me there's a chance.
Your hope should just be to see him in the thing.
Well, I mean, that's a good
start.
That's
all I was rooting for with the Cubs. I just want them to go there so we can be part of something. It was cool and they won. But I was going to be happy. I mean, when it got down game seven, I wanted to win the thing.
I feel like next year is going to be their best chance.
Yeah.
Because their defense is all back, and like they'll have Cook back, and they just got to figure out quarterback, and they're going to have one of those guys. I feel like next year, like their window is going to start to close after next year.
It's kind of like our infamous discussion on this about the Playboy Mansion, which Grace said he would never go to because he's a liar. You know, are you happy just to get the invite to go to the Playboy Mansion, or are you only happy if you hook up with someone while you're there? I mean, you just want to go.
I just want to go.
Yeah, exactly. But you just want to be part of it.
Like, I'm getting really sick of other Vikings fans on Twitter, though. Like, there's just so much like, oh, well, we'll be good next year. Like, well, I don't give a crap. I want to win.
Yeah.
Like, I am so sick and tired of bleeding and living through this franchise only to be tortured. I want to win the damn thing.
You realize...
Like, I no longer play for North Championships. I want to win the damn Super Bowl.
You could change your allegiance. You could find another team.
No, I can't do that.
People do that.
I can't do that.
You know?
Why would I do that? That would make me a fraud.
I'm not suggesting you should.
I'm not going to do it.
It's like what my dad does with his jerseys. It ticks me off. He's a Cubs fan. I took that guy to a World Series. You know, just said, hey, let's go to the World Series because you're my dad. I love you. And he throws in my face by wearing Cardinals jerseys around because he's cheap and he found it at a garage sale and he likes the shirt. I'm like, no self-respecting Cubs fan can wear a Cardinals jersey.
You can't do that, Mr. Charter.
It doesn't work. You know? I would never do that.
Yeah, I would rather get scarlet fever again than wear a Packers shirt around.
Yeah, just
actually, that's not true. That was horrible.
I had to wear Hawkeye stuff once because I lost a bet. So I honored it, though. I didn't feel good about it, but I did it.
All right, we're both going Pats.
Correct. You cannot bet against the greatest of all time. At all. Can't do it. Yeah, that's all I got. Keep your daughters off the pole.
Keep your daughters off the pole. Whichever one you're thinking about. Later.